Let's turn in our Bibles this evening again to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, and we begin our reading at verse 36 to the end of the chapter. And my text will be the verses 41 through 46. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, it's talking there about in Jerusalem, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, or Jehovah, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Jehovah, hear me, that this people may know that thou art Jehovah, God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of Jehovah fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, Jehovah, he is the God. Jehovah, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. Now our text. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up. Say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and the wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So far the reading of God's inspired word. There is a song, perhaps you have sung it when you were younger, and that's what I gave as a title for my sermon, There Shall Be Showers of Blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. The work isn't done yet, is it, beloved? To that great event there on Mount Carmel belongs this passage of Scripture that we have read, that the heavens were black with clouds and a great rain came, as we read in verse 45. The great rain is the conclusion of that confrontation that took place on Mount Carmel. The great rain was the goal of that whole event on Mount Carmel. In the way of repentance of the people of Israel, in the way of God, revealing that he is Jehovah God, the only God. These things were necessary before blessings of showers would be sent. The great rain. Now, we may not ignore that. Even though so climatic was that confrontation, even though so spectacular was the sending of fire from heaven, and even though so heartwarming was the repentance of Israel and confession of Israel, Jehovah, he is God, this is now the good that comes, God's blessing of his covenant people. At first, that might seem anticlimactic of what took place on the mountain. But I tell you, this was the great need. Ahab might have felt rather ill at ease when he saw those prophets of his wicked wife Jezebel being slain, and there still was no rain yet. But no, Israel needs to know Jehovah is God, and in the way of their repentance and faith and obedience, there will be showers of blessing on his covenant people. And outstanding in this whole event, beloved, is this prayer of Elijah, even though the words of that prayer are not mentioned here. Yes, we have that short 30-second prayer of Elijah for that fire to come down, and immediately that fire came down. But this prayer of Elijah, repeated 7 times over, with the servant of Elijah going up to the top of the mountain and looking, are there the showers a coming, showers of blessings? So look a moment with me at Elijah as he withdraws from the crowd and all their enthusiasm, as he withdraws from the crowd to go up again on Mount Carmel. 7 times he bows down to the Lord on his knees with his head between his knees to pray. 7 times he sends his servant up there to look, is there rain yet in the sky? And finally, a small little cloud arising out of the sea, as small as a man's hands. And this is explicit how important this prayer is from James chapter 5. The Apostle James could have picked from many other Old Testament saints on the importance of the prayer of a righteous man, but he chooses the prayer of Elijah. We read in James 5, verses 17 and 18, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Elijah prayed. And from this, you and I tonight are to learn the power of prayer, to apply that text, the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do you believe that? Are we men and women, are we children who are on our knees praying to our covenant God, praying for showers of blessing, praying for the success of God's church, praying for the gathering of his elect, not only in our own nation, but from the nations of the world? Showers of blessing. Notice it is covenant blessings that are being prayed for. Second of all, the petition of the prophet. And then thirdly, my point is in the way of following the word of the Lord. A great rain, we read in our text. The sky turned black. The wind started blowing. For 3.5 years, there had been terrible drought, hadn't there? As we read, the sky was as brass and the earth was like iron. A severe famine. What misery that brought to God's people. There was not enough water for the animals, let alone for mankind. There were those who were starving and dying, unlike the widow at Zarephath. The blessing of rain is nothing less than the deliverance of God's people from death into a joyful life again. Once more, the earth would bring forth and bring forth fruit, not only for the beast, which seems to be Ahab's main concern, but for God's people themselves. With a view to that rain, Elijah invites Ahab. He says, go and eat and drink. Celebrate. Celebrate what took place here. Jehovah, he is God. And the coming deliverance then of the nation from starvation and from death. It'd be wrong for us to view that great rain as merely God's providence. Yes, we know that rain and sunshine are gifts of God's providence that falls upon the just and the unjust. But this is not merely a gift of providence now. This is directed as God's covenant people who are in dire need, who are dying. And God is going to send his blessing upon them. Oh yes, that rain will also fall upon much of that fickle Israel. And yes, Ahab too is going to receive the benefit of this rain for his cattle and for his kingdom. But Ahab and the wicked, the reprobates, the hypocrites, do not receive God's blessing. The rain comes as a covenant blessing to God's covenant people, the nation of Israel. It is God. It is God alone who makes the sun to rise and rain to fall on his earth upon all mankind. But God makes that gift a blessing to those who look to him, to depend upon him in faith. I remember back quite a few years ago that there was a prayer day service in March, and there was a pitiful small audience of God's people that night. I mean, after all, how many of them are really farmers? How many of them were really urgent in prayer that the Lord would bless the crops that soon would be sown in the field? But then come about July, and it had been a rather dry summer. And all of a sudden the cry comes up, we need a special prayer day service. Let's have a special prayer day service. Where were you? Where were you, dear saints, at the beginning of the year when we had an annual prayer day service for those crops, just as we have now, just this past week, had a prayer day service also in thanksgiving for the blessings remembered? What I think many people forgot when they wanted to claim this verse of Elijah from James 5, the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much, they forget that that effectual prayer of that righteous man came after now there had been repentance of God's people. After there was a beautiful confession upon their lips, Jehovah, he is God. And it had been followed with obedience, ridding the land of those 450 false prophets of Baal. You see, essential for this rain to fall was that repentance of Israel and the turning away from her idols and a returning to Jehovah before they receive that rain. The object of that rain was not just for any kind of nation, but it was for the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. Yes, Israel, the schismatic 10 tribes, but they were still God's people. And God treats Israel here organically, that is, as a whole. Yes, there were those wicked leaders, and they just had been delivered from the 450 false prophets of Jezebel, the prophets of Baal. But there still were those 400 prophets of the Ashtaroth. There is still wicked King Ahab, who is king over those people by God's providence. Yes, there are many hypocrites who for a little while would go along with it, but they would follow usually the evil leadership that God had provided in their disobedience. But it is God blessing His covenant people. The fulfillment of that Old Testament Israel, of course, is Christ's church. You and I today, and that church as she is being gathered, and that church when she repents of her sin, when she seeks the Lord's face and confesses that He is God alone, when she walks in faith and in obedience, she will realize God's covenant blessings. She will experience them to her joy. A covenant blessing sent by Israel's covenant God, His people, restored to Him through their conversion, a conversion worked by God's Spirit and His word there on Mount Carmel. That is the significance of that great rain, isn't it? It comes as a gift of Jehovah God, not deserved, no. God's grace is never deserved by us. But God gives that gift in the way of that sevenfold petition of Elijah. After the petition was brought, when Isaiah is on his knees, and after the servant of Elijah goes up time and time and time again to look for rain, God sends that little cloud. This is not accidental. That number seven. Do you see? That's why I call this a covenant blessing. For a covenant people, for that number seven is the number of God's covenant, isn't it? Boys and girls, you've learned that in catechism. The number 3 + 4 = 7. And the number 3 is a number for God, the triune God, and the number 4 is for people, namely God's people. It is His relationship, gracious relationship with His people in Christ Jesus. A covenant blessing given. In the Old Testament, rain with the following crops that are abundant on the earth is a picture, a type, a shadow of what we know here in the New Testament as God's blessings through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, material things were there for the people to see with their eyes, but pointing, God created the earthly in such a way that it points to spiritual realities. And so in the way of prayer today, we also receive covenant blessings. What are they? Aren't they the covenant blessing of the forgiveness of all of our sins? Isn't there the covenant blessing of joy and peace in our Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't there the covenant blessing that we know that even though our sins and our conscience accuses us of our sins, we are declared righteous by God? Isn't it the covenant blessing that we have as pilgrims and strangers in this world that this is not all there is? But past the trials and the valley of the shadow of death here, there is the hope of everlasting bless in the new heavens and the new earth. plain in Deuteronomy 28, that when God's covenant people walk in the way of obedience, we read in Deuteronomy 28, verse 12, the Lord will open the heavens and the storehouse of his bounty to send rain upon your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. So this rain that we are talking about in this passage is an earthly blessing given there with a as a type, as a shadow of the blessings that flow to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sing that song, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for thy blessing of showering blessings we desperately, desperately need in the way of obedience and service of God. Don't get me wrong. These covenant blessings, the cause of them is not Elijah's prayer. And the cause of these covenant blessings is not the people's faith and obedience. The cause of these covenant blessings coming there is because the fire of God had descended upon that sacrificial victim instead of upon his sinful people. And God's covenant blessings come upon us, not because of our faith and not because of our obedience, but it comes because Jesus Christ hung there on the cross and endured God's wrath instead of us in our place. But with that cross of Christ Jesus, we are a grateful people. We know our need for Christ Jesus. And in the way of faith and in obedience now, we serve the Lord. And in that way, we will experience his blessing upon us. Did not David in Psalm 32 in the way of sin experience God's wrath? He says, I dry up within myself. God in the way of the people's repentance, demonstrated by their confession, Jehovah, he is God. Jehovah, he is God. And obedience, ridding the land of those 450 prophets of Baal, are going to receive blessings, a rich shower of blessings. And I want you to notice, boys and girls, and mothers and fathers and young people also, that the Lord God is not a stingy giver. It is not just a drop here and a drop here in this hard, difficult life that we live. Even as the rain came down, the skies were black with rain, and the wind blew, and there was a great rain, we read in verse 45. Oh, the Lord is so rich in his grace in showering us with blessings. A great rain. And God's people then and God's people today enjoy the blessings of covenant life only in the way of turning away from idols that we so easily make for ourselves and serve Jehovah. Drought and famine were God's judgment, God's manifestations of his wrath, bringing death. Again, from Deuteronomy 28, verses 23 and 24. The sky over you will be like brass and the earth like iron. The Lord will turn the rain of your land into dust and power. It will come down from the skies until you are ruined. God is not going to bless his people in the way of their rebellion or of their sin. Rather, it is we have communion with our God through what Christ Jesus has done and his Spirit working in our hearts so that we will and do of his good pleasure. Oh, the blessings. Exposed to God's wrath, may we feel that wrath if we walk in sin, so that we turn away, that we turn with Elijah to confess the only God and the only Christ, our Savior. So God goes to work with his word by the prophet. He uses Elijah now through that demonstration on Mount Carmel, and he uses Elijah now also to lead that people to trust in the Lord, to receive his blessings. Let me bring that now today a moment for application. When a church or when a denomination of churches, when they depart from the true God by having false doctrine or having will worship instead of pure worship, which is acceptable to God, God will not give blessings there. There will be a drought then, as there was a drought for those 3.5 years in Israel. It was not only a drought of rainwater, it was a drought of the word of God, wasn't it? Isn't that the significance why Elijah was down at Cherith for about a year and why he was later on about 2.5 years in Zarephath, outside of the land of Israel? The word of God was taken away. And so in the absence of preaching today, pure preaching, there will not be that spiritual life in the church. There will not be joy or peace. Those things disappear like a mist. And all kinds of misery will appear and are felt. What kind of miseries? When the word is not purely brought, there will be marriages that are broken. There will be children who wander away and leave the church. When there is not that pure preaching of the word, the church will be divided by all kinds of opinions. Pick which one you want, because there's no unity in God's word. One can try to struggle with those symptoms, but all those symptoms are when the word of God is not any longer heard or desired by God's people, when they have itching ears. But when they repent, when they turn to the Lord by his grace, then there are showers of blessing, God's word, and the peace that results. But that's not only true for a church or for a denomination, but beloved, that is true individually for us as saints and in our families. And that's why I asked last time about that altar that had been neglected there on Mount Carmel, that altar to God, and I asked about your family altars. Is the word of God in your homes? Are you having devotions with your children, with your wife? Or is it a dry time? And without that word of God, spiritually, you dry up. Psalm 32, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped up as with the heat of summer. We may not have any other idols in our lives, not a great name, not materialism, not the fame of this world. And there's so many idols that we can make of our own. We need to repent. We need that daily altar in our homes. Yes, we need to pray to our covenant God for showers of blessing. This rain, beloved, that brings me to my second point, didn't just happen, did it? That blessing did not come apart from the petition of God's prophet. Although it was God's will to give his people rain, we know that already from verse 1 of this chapter. Chapter 18, verse 1, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. But that rain will not come until there is that conversion and there is that repentance and until there is this prayer of God's prophet." Someone just recently asked me about that phrase, in the way of repentance, in the way of faith and obedience. What we're dealing here with is a temporal order, not cause. The cause for blessings are through the fire of God accepting the blood of the sacrifice, namely Christ Jesus. But you boys and girls will remember maybe from catechism, the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, there was that terrible cycle that repeated itself over and over and over again. Do you remember that cycle? The four S's. There was sin. And because there was sin, God brought suffering. And that suffering continued on and on, sometimes for as long as 22 years. Why? Until there was finally sorrow. And when there was sorrow, then the Lord brought salvation by a deliverance from his hand. A temporal order. We needed Mount Carmel confrontation first. The people were serving the idol Baal and Ashtaroth. They need to repent of that sin. They need to confess that Jehovah is God. They need to obey the prophet and rid themselves of those 450 prophets of Baal. And then, through the prayer of this prophet of the Lord, there are showers of blessing. So the work wasn't done with that confrontation, is there? And I want you to notice several things now about this work of the prophet. How unlike this spiritual leader was over against the wicked leader, King Ahab. King Ahab must have been distressed by seeing his wife's prophets there killed by the river, and still there's no rain yet. But he obeys. He obeys because God is sovereign on his throne. And when Elijah comes and says, go up and eat and drink, he goes and eats and drink. But what does the prophet do? Over against what the king is doing, eating and drinking, the prophet goes apart by himself. He withdraws himself from the crowd and all the distractions in order to spend time in secret with his God. You, as God's people, you hear your elders, you hear your pastor, you hear your deacons praying collectively for God's people, and that's important, public prayer. And there was that public prayer of the prophet there on Mount Carmel, wasn't that short little prayer? But now he withdraws himself. And just as important as the public prayers, maybe more important than the public prayers, are the private prayers that your pastor and that your elders and that your deacons pray for God's people. Whether it be the health for one who is sick, or for a troubled teenager, or for a marriage that is in trouble. Do you know your elders and your deacons on their knees praying for you individually? And you heads of the home, it's important that you have your public prayers with your family around the table. But are you praying for them also privately as the head of the home for each of your children individually? And the struggles that teenagers will go through in their rebellious years, and the list could go on. Elijah withdrew himself so that he could be alone with his God in prayer. That's the first thing. Second of all, I want you to notice the posture of the prophet as he is praying. Posture is important. In catechism, you boys and girls know that I'm all the time after you in your posture. That your feet aren't kicking the other kid in the desk, or that you're not out in the hallway somewhere, or somewhere you're upside down in your chairs. Posture is important in worship and in prayer. Now look at the posture of the prophet. He is down on his knees in the dust, and his head is down there between his knees. Elijah is being humble before God in prayer. He is humble in his prayer before God, even though he had just concluded a day that could have made him very proud. Couldn't he have said, boy, God and me, we really showed these people, or God and I for proper English. Look at the people. Look even at the king. When Elijah said, I want you to get those prophets of Baal up to Mount Carmel, and I want you to assemble all the representatives of Israel there on Mount Carmel, Ahab obeys. When he tells them to prepare two bullocks, one for themselves, and he's going to prepare the other one, they obey. And when he finally tells the people, kill all those prophets of Baal, they obey. What a victory! How easy it could have been having the center of attention all day there on Mount Carmel, that he could have been proud. But notice how humble he is on there. Who is he? He is merely a servant of God doing the Lord's bidding. And all that took place there on Mount Carmel is the doing of Jehovah God, as well as the sending of rain. Oh, he could have been proud about being a very valuable servant of God. But instead he's humble. And God demands, desires that same kind of humility in our lives. Oh, beloved, that's not an easy requirement for us to meet. Pride asserts itself so easily. Isn't that perhaps why we as a denomination have experienced what we have between the COVID illness and also the schism in the church? Have we sometimes been so proud about ourselves, about what God had given us or what we believe? Humility. So he withdraws himself. There is humility. Thirdly, notice his faith. He says to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea, verse 43. And he prays again, and he says to his servant, go up and again look at the sea. Nothing. And he prays again with his head between his knees, and he says to his servant a third time, go up and look to the sea. Nothing. And a fourth time, nothing. Fifth time, nothing. Sixth time, nothing. Seventh time. There. How wonderful. He keeps on praying. Why? Because he prays in faith. Doesn't James also warn about the man who is double-minded? Doesn't really believe what he is doing. But he prays. Already in verse 41, he says to Ahab, go and eat and drink because there is the sound of a hard rain. In the Hebrew, the word geshem means heavy rain. Or again, the other Hebrew word, haman, means abundance. Elijah keeps on praying because he believed that God would answer according to his promise. Yes, he had Deuteronomy chapter 12, or chapter 28, verse 12, in mind. These blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of thy Lord thy God. And what's going to come? The Lord will make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of the ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord will open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. You see, Elijah had faith in God's promise. And therefore, he will not stop praying. God's word is in his mind, and therefore, believing, he prays. And beloved, that is the way that you and I are to pray also. We are to pray with the Bible open in our hands. Claim those promises of God. For if God has promised it, he will do it. And so Elijah prays 7 times the number of the covenant. He withdraws himself in great humility, full of faith. Notice fourthly, his prayer, there was that perseverance. He persists in that request 7 times. Was Elijah surprised, perhaps? I would have been. For if you will remember, boys and girls, up there on Mount Carmel, he has that tiny little prayer of about 30 seconds, and immediately fire came down from heaven. Wow! Now he prays for the rain as God has promised. Nothing. He prays again. Nothing. He prays again. Nothing. He prays again. Nothing. 7 times, and then there is a little cloud the size of a man's fist above the sea. Perseverance. Jesus stressed that in the parable of the importunate woman, didn't he? In Luke chapter 18, the first 8 verses. Do you remember that parable? That widow comes to this judge, an unjust judge, a wicked judge. And she brings her request for her needs to him. He won't hear. But she keeps on, and she keeps on, and she keeps on, and she keeps on. And finally, that judge says, I am weary of this woman. I'll give her what she wants, and she'll go away. Not that God says, he keeps on praying, okay, I'll finally give it to him. No. What Jesus' point was in this perseverance in our prayers. We are to wrestle with the Lord in our prayers, even as Jacob did there by the river Jabbok. Why? Why doesn't God just give us what we ask the first time? Is it probably that he wants to test the sincerity of our request? Are you really serious? Do we really want it? Maybe he wants to test our faith, give us spiritual growth. But with Elijah, it was not his sincerity of faith. That was apparent from everything that took place already. And I don't believe it was to test Elijah's faith. For that too is very strong. But again, maybe it's again that the answer would be the matter of pride. having this great humility, as we read in James chapter 5, verse 17, Elijah was a man of like passions with us. In other words, he had to combat pride in his life too. He had been waging a fierce battle. And now he is the one who comes in prayer. But it is God. It is God who must give the showers of blessings. Not answered immediately, but in the way of perseverance and faith. Throwing himself completely upon Jehovah and his word. Fifthly, he prayed according to the will of God. James chapter 5 must not be interpreted that we may pray for anything that we like. No. He prayed for that which God promised obediently. And therefore he prayed, sixthly, confidently. God would send these covenant blessings as he promised. He was sure of it. And so he persevered. He kept on praying. And I want you to notice, seventh then, we're dealing with number seven, aren't we? Notice how definite it is. It's not some kind of a general prayer, "Oh Lord, bless us." No, he has something very definite in mind. "Oh Lord, send that rain from heaven that will refresh this barren land and barren people. Let the church of Jesus Christ pray, withdrawing into their private closets in humility, full of faith, persevering in their prayer, claiming God's promises, praying earnestly, fervently, and confidently. As I read in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1, "Ask ye of the Lord rain." Rain now as a earthly type of all the showers of blessings that come from the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Prayers that go to Christ Jesus, our sympathetic high priest in heaven, who knows our needs and will pour out the blessings of his cross upon us. God hears and answers prayer. God is moved with our prayers. God responds to our prayers. He gives as he has promised. How beautiful is that prayer? But we're not quite done with it yet. The rain is coming down, isn't it? The rain is going to come, and so Elijah comes to his servant and says, "Go up to Ahab and tell him, prepare your chariot and get going, because that rain is going to come, lest you'll be caught in it." As the Kidron River expands with the heavy rain that is coming in, he will not be able to drive his chariot home. So Ahab gets in his chariot with his horses, and they start running, don't they? But now the third point of this sermon. We cannot conclude without mentioning this great miracle that takes place and is recorded in verse 46. "And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." Now you say, what is that going to do? What's the miracle there? Boys and girls, I want you to see the wicked king Ahab. Finally, there is the rain. His kingdom is going to be restored to him again. Things are going to look good. So he gets in his chariot, and his horses are driving furiously because the rain is already coming down. He's getting wet. But now I want you to watch closely. "The hand of the Lord was on Elijah." And as the hand of the Lord is upon Elijah, the servant of Jehovah who brings the word of the Lord to God's people, he girds up his mantle so that he can run. And do you see him? He is running faster than Ahab is going with his horses and chariots, which are flying through the mud. And he is running all the way to Jezreel, about 14 miles ahead of the chariot of Ahab. What an athlete, you might say. No, the hand of the Lord was upon him. And what is the importance of this miracle that Elijah, with the hand of the Lord upon him, is able to run ahead of Ahab? The point is this. Ahab should be following the word of the Lord that the servant of the Lord brings from Jehovah God to his people. And in the way of following the word of the Lord, there would continue to be covenant blessings upon his people and upon his reign as a king in his personal life. Those blessings come in the obedience, the following of the word of God. Now we know that wicked King Ahab will not do that. He's a weakling. He's a henpecked husband. He comes back to Jezreel and he tells the story to his wife Jezebel. And they commiserate together. What an awful day it must have been. All her prophets dead. In fact, she wants the life of Elijah. She does not want, and Ahab doesn't want, then the word of the Lord. And yes, we do know that of the 10 tribes, that the multitude of the 10 tribes revert just as fast as the king to idolatry. But oh, beloved, there are the 7,000, the remnant in Israel, who have once again the word of the Lord brought to them on Mount Carmel. And in the way of hearing that word of the Lord and confessing that Jehovah is God, obeying and serving him, they do receive God's covenant blessing. We too, beloved, will experience, now notice I use that word, we will experience God's blessings in the way of following God's word, but in the way of following folly and sin in our hearts, there will only be terrible experiences of God's hand against us, not upon us. Wicked King Ahab goes back to his folly. And Israel, as a covenant people, continue in their sins until finally, after more wicked kings, they are taken away by Assyria. But what a day it was. What a day it was for God's remnant church there. They had showers of blessing sent from the Father above. Why? For the sake of Jesus Christ, the one who bore God's wrath in our place for them and for us today. Pray. Pray because Jesus Christ suffered in our place. He took God's wrath away from us, and we are then now filled with his blessings. Pray for showers of blessings. Amen.